evening on the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are in danger of thinking it merely as a means for coming to know God. But I was in my old church building made of flintstone, a funeral about a week ago. And I said, the church is not made of flintstone. The church is made out of blood. There's amazing words when we think of the blood of God. And it is the blood of God. If it was just human blood, Jesus is human. But if it was just human blood, it wouldn't save us. It wouldn't cleanse us. It'd be no different from your blood or my blood. My blood wouldn't cleanse you. Your blood. There had to be something. You notice what he said. Drawn, he says, distinctly, from Emmanuel's veins. Of course, the Godhead cannot die. But we're told in Acts 20:28, the church of God, which is purchased with his own blood. No blood, no church. And the people here tonight who are real Christians, young or old, have been washed daily, I nearly said hourly, in the blood of Jesus Christ. I think even in evangelical circles, we hear little of the blood of Jesus Christ. I was converted from a wild life as an Air Force officer and brought up in the Church of England, Christian confirmed. I never heard the gospel. I blamed the church. I went to school, a public school. I went to church every day. And I never heard about the blood of Jesus Christ. And you can go to churches for years. You may hear orthodoxy, even doctrine, which is essential. But you don't hear of the blood of Jesus Christ. I want to show you tonight that from the word of God that we've read about the power. The nature of God is such that nothing save the blood of Jesus Christ could bring man to God. There was no other way. People said, oh, God is God. Therefore, he could bring people anyway. How would you go with that argument? It's totally wrong. Jesus said to the word of God, inspired a writer to write in Hebrews, in the ninth chapter of Hebrews, and my Bible conveniently opens there. Verse 22. I've underlined it. Can you underline it in your life? Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. If Christ had done all the miracles and preached those amazing sermons and lived a holy life, nobody would have been saved. That's why the devil tried to stop him going to Calvary. The battles in Gethsemane. And of course, on the cross, he was fighting the devil. People say he was dying for our sins. That's partially true. He was dying to conquer death. That is partially true. But he was dying, it says, to destroy the power of the devil. It was the greatest conflict ever. And he destroyed the power of Satan. He's a beaten foe. He can roar at us. He's like a lion in a cage. He can't get us. He roars at us. And he is a lion. But there is a greater lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah. So this is why Christ had to die and had to shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness. Then we have to ask ourselves, have we really? I'm not here to undermine faith. God forbid that. But I'm here to prove our faith. How much do you know daily of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ? I say again, the nature of God demands cleansing through the blood of God, the blood of his Son, to make a church, to make Christians. Here we're talking really to believers, John was. He wasn't preaching a gospel sermon in what we heard tonight in the first chapter of 1 John. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we're fellowship, if we say we're living as Christians, fellowship is oneness, togetherness with God. And our life undermines it in our thinking, in our speaking, in our actions. We walk in darkness. We lie. The worst lies are the lies of people who say they're Christians and walking with God. It says this. If we say we have fellowship, literally oneness with him, togetherness with him, and walk in darkness, we lie. We can live a lie as a professing Christian, a professing evangelical, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, why should we do that? Because he's in the light. We've got to cross over to the light side of the street of life. We have fellowship, togetherness, one with another. It's lovely to have friends. It's lovely to have family. But you know, some families are ripped apart because they're not one in Christ. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's the first evidence of the power of the blood. It cleanses our life from all sin. Not some sin, all sin. I repeat it says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. A word or so, it is the most powerful thing in the world, the blood of Jesus Christ. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But have you confessed your sin? And the worst sin is we've never thanked him for dying for us. We've never thanked him for shedding the blood that's cleansing us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, reliable, trustworthy. Very few people are reliable, trustworthy, and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have no sin, we say, God, you're a liar. People say to me, you know, I remember a woman once, very well-to-do woman, I'm not a sinner, she said. Well, I said, then God got it wrong, didn't he? What do you say? Well, he sent his son. He didn't call him prophet or king or teacher. He was all of those things, but he called him Jesus. Because Jesus means savior from sin. And eventually I went back a year later and that woman was converted. And all her pride and arrogance had been stripped away. The first thing I want to show you of the power of the blood tonight, it cleanses. It's amazing that the blood of Jesus Christ here in Preston. If we could only tell the people, just a handful of us tonight. But if we only could tell the people, God's blood is here. Who are you to say that, preacher? Oh, God says that. He didn't say cleanse 2,000 years ago. Did you notice what it says in verse 7? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. That's present. Invisible. Spiritual. It's right there in your pew. Right there beside you. Within you. It's amazing, isn't it? The blood of Jesus Christ is here. It cleanses us. That's my Bible. All sin. We can read the scriptures backwards nearly. But amazing tonight, see, there's power here. It can change us all. And all of us need changing. We're all still sinners. We need to be saved all over again, you see. Amazing to know that. To know you're cleansed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Present, powerful tonight, spiritual. And that's wonderful. The second great thing is this. The blood of Jesus Christ, it redeems us. Redemption means buying us back at a price. Deliverance from sin by the payment of a price. He paid with his own life. He paid with his own blood, as we heard in the reading in Leviticus. But look at 1 Peter. Peter wrote at the times of the Neronian persecution, Nero was a hater of children. Yes, children. Young people, middle-aged, old, they were put in the arena and they were covered in skins and ripped apart because they wouldn't deny Jesus Christ. That's when he wrote. The beginning of the 60s. That's what he wrote. You had to be a brave man or woman or girl, fellow, to be a Christian then. And it may well happen. Where I live in the midst of Islam. Where do I live? I live in England. I live in the Midlands. And where are my churches? All around it. I love them. But not, I hardly ever see a white face. All people of Islam, they know who I am. They know what I stand for. My wife, sometimes they make it, they won't get me. God gave me a promise when I came to my city 38 years ago. I have much people in the city. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. And one day I was quoting it. And of course the devil heard it as he did tonight. And I was in the city centre on a Friday night. And a man said to me, have you been to hospital this week? And I thought he was talking about my visits. He said, that's where you'll be, you see. And he was intending to put me into hospital. So I stood back a few feet. I'm strong, but I wasn't going to fight as a Christian. I could have broken his neck once. I was a very strong man. I was trained as a RF regiment. We were the crack troops. We were trained by the guards. And I said, people who talk like you often have a dreadful end. He couldn't move. And it was a very handsome Brazilian man who'd been waiting 45 minutes in the city of the city to speak to me. And when I spoke to this Brazilian man, who was just amazed to hear the things of Jesus Christ, I saw that other man just standing there. He couldn't move, you see. The day will declare it, but how amazing it is to be redeemed. Here it is, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as you know, do you know? Do you really know? You were not redeemed. You were not bought back with corruptible things, silver and gold. I apparently was in the richest village where I ministered for years in the whole of Great Britain, East Horsley, more millionaires than anybody. And I told them the other day when I was preaching at a funeral, poor, you're poor. I didn't know it was in the Telegraph the next day. You must have thought I wrote it, you see. You were redeemed, you were bought back with, not with corruptible things, with silver. Silver and gold is corruptible. We've got a bank full, perhaps, of corruption. Hey, what is that? What it means is, only that which is incorruptible is what you take with you. Everything you leave behind is corruptible. Not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Amazing. It cleanses us, and it's brought us back. Jesus Christ put down his own blood to buy us back again with the precious blood of Christ. I was once at Crewe. I passed through it yesterday. There was a man like a peacock. He was very well dressed, and he was strutting up and down. This man, my taxi driver, or they dropped me off at this time, you see. And he was going up and down like this peacock, prancing. I said, excuse me, what do you do? I'm something big in space, he said. I felt like saying, I know the person who made the space. And he got in the train with me, packed. We'll be tomorrow, or Tuesday morning, rather. I'm preaching tomorrow night, I've forgotten. But I will remember. But anyway, so the peacock got into the train beside me. And then he said, I've got a question to ask you. And he always read his immense, what's he going to ask you? He said, my mothers are down in Brighton and the vicar couldn't answer the question. Can you answer it? I said, what is the question? Was the death of Christ any different from anybody else's death? When in one sense it wasn't, was it? He died. But in another sense, I showed him the scriptures, you see. Scriptures like we've seen tonight. And the peacock got his pen out and he began to write down Isaiah 53. He was numbered with the transgressors. But the lowest thing that can happen to you is your number. I'm flight lieutenant retired, 252 and 857. I'm allowed to say that. And branded in me from 18 years of age, my number, you see. That's what God was, a terrible thing. God was reduced to a number. God, yes, he was reduced to a number. 1, 2, 3, which one? He was in the middle, wasn't he? The two criminals were on the other side of him. And he just stopped. And I never forget what he said. As I scripture after scripture. I mean, the whole train was hearing. They were packed. They couldn't move. It was a captive audience. They were strapped there, hanging onto the straps on their way to the next station. And he said, I'm 56 years of age. And I've never thought it. I mean, he was telling me yesterday, I was thinking at Cape Canaveral under space. I've never thought. And he wrote to me. And under his name, I remember his name, he printed, The Runaway, was caught in time. I have a leaflet called The Runaway. And he said, I'm the runaway. It's caught in time. How wonderful tonight to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, present at this moment, and to be brought back by the blood of God's Son. And yet, I find other wonderful things that you can find. How can I be accepted? How can I be accepted? Because I've always gone to church, because my mum and dad are Christians, my uncle is, my father is, my wife is, you know, somebody else always. What about you? What about me? And the third thing, it cleanses us. The power is so powerful. It cleanses us. It's so powerful. It buys us back. It redeems us. But I found also, and I did this for my own heart as well, I found that in Romans, you remember, the Romans were a horrible crowd. It's amazing there was a church in Rome at all, one of the most evil places on earth. They had all their pagan deities there and their legions. But in the fifth chapter, you find another thing. You're justified. You're accepted. Yes, it says in the beginning of Romans 5, let me read it to you. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It isn't the faith that saves us, it's what faith believes in. And faith believes in the blood of Jesus Christ, you see. It's interesting that when you go down to verse 9, it explains it better. To be justified, to be accepted in God's sight, on what grounds? Oh, faith, you say. Grace, you say. You have peace with God. Yes, that's all true. But it was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. He's cleansed us. He's redeemed us, and he justifies us. Look at it. It's a wonderful thing. Much more, he said. I've got much more to tell you tonight, as it were. Romans 5, verse 9. You got it? Much more than being now at this moment, justified by his blood. Amazing prominence of his blood, you see. We shall be saved, delivered from sin. We know you'll be delivered from wrath. You know, it's an incredible thing. The end of John 3, you know John 3:16, we all know it. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But have you ever noticed John 3:36? It's relevant to what we're considering. Turn to it with me. I'm turning to it. John 3:36. What's so special? Let's have a look. It says there in John 3, 36, yes, it's still there, 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Oh, I know that. But he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. And the wrath of God abideth on him. There's a cloud over Preston tonight. There may be a cloud over you if you're not a real Christian. The wrath of God isn't something that comes at the end of the world. The wrath of God hangs over people. I tell people that. Look up. It says that. The wrath of God, it abideth. It's actually there. It abideth on them. It hangs over them. We're near to wrath as that. What an amazing thing that Jesus has delivered us from the wrath to come. The wrath is just waiting to fall on millions of people. Probably even in our own land. So, the power of the blood cleanses us from sin. The power of the blood, it buys us back, redeems us. And the power of the blood justifies us when we believe in that and delivers us from the wrath to come. But how can we get to God? Do you know you can't approach God save for the precious blood? If we'd read on in Leviticus, or if we'd gone back from 17 to 16, that 17 was great. He's made atonement for us. I love that atonement. It's a bit of a funny word. I'm not very good on words, but it's got three syllables. At one moment. That's what it means. Are you at one with God? You are through the blood of Jesus. No other grounds. He has made atonement at one moment through his blood for our souls. And that's something very rich. In Leviticus, where I mentioned 16, was, you remember, only once a year, the high priest He took the blood of animals and he went in and behind the veil and he put the blood on the top of the altar where the blood was presented. For himself, nobody else, no other priest could come in. The rest of the people were down the hill, as it were, outside. But he went in. But what I found is, with Jesus, that we now can enter in. We've heard all these things that the blood has without repeating them. But I found this wonderful. You saw my Bible, it's all marked. This one is. But in, I think I never read the Bible. Never went to church. When my mother and father died in 4 days, I lost them both in 4 days. It was very sad. I had to go through my mother's belongings. My father had gone off with another woman when my mother was carrying me with an 18-year-old. But he still was my father, and I certainly witnessed to him right to the end of his life. He may well have come to Christ. But it's amazing to... We can enter into heaven every day. We can live in heaven on earth. We can live in Preston. We can live in heaven. I do. Here's the other point of the parable. Just two more. This one and one more. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. You see, we've had 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. It redeems us. We saw 1 John 1, 7. It cleanses us. We saw Romans 5, verse 9. We're justified through his blood. So this is the fourth one. You can enter only through into heaven. No one gets into heaven but with the blood. No other way in. It says here in verse 19, thinking that man who represented the people of old, but Jesus has left heaven's door open. Have you noticed the door of heaven is open? Only all can go in through the blood. Listen to this. Hebrews 10, 19. Read it. Having, that means perpetually, it's a participle. It means continuing. Brethren, boldness, that means freedom, permission, liberty. Can you imagine entering Buckingham Palace? What about the palace of heaven? To enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's the only way in. And we can go in every day. We can go to school, and in school we can enter at the same time. We're in a difficult situation. We can go in and enter into the blood, into heaven, you see. Amazing. The holiest, well, that was on earth where the priest entered. It's a picture of heaven. That we can live in the holiest. Even in Preston and in the holiest. In Leicester and in the holiest. It's an amazing thing. To enter. And you can only enter, it says, into the holiest. By the blood of Jesus. Nobody but a blood-bought person get into the holiest. No blood, no way into the holiest. And the final thing tonight is I checked up to see who's in heaven. I think I can find it. But who's in heaven? Well, it's open there. That's good. Revelation. It's not the revelation of John. It's the revelation of Jesus. John just wrote down what he was given. You notice that, don't you? You read the opening of Revelation. It's the last book of the Bible. It's wonderful. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which shortly come to pass. But it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The book's about the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's the final revelation in the last book of the Bible. But we're talking about the power of the blood. The final power of the blood is the people arrived in heaven. Will we see each other in heaven? Not because we were just in this church tonight and I'm a preacher. That doesn't get me to heaven. The person who tries to get us, stop us going to heaven is the devil. He accuses us. You read, and let me read Revelation 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power, and notice this to now, the power of his Christ. For the accuser is always saying, you are this, you are that, you can't be that. The devil is always accusing us.
the accuser, then before God. And do you know, he's there accusing before God. He says it night and day. Have you ever seen that in your Bible? Which accuses them before our God day and night. God says, here's the devil again, day and night. I mean, how little we know about the Bible. How little we know about God. Even less do we know about the devil. He's pestering God, accusing us, that fellow, that man, that woman, that girl. He's saying, they are this, attack, trying to accuse us, you see. And it's wonderful. And but they've overcome him. Not just pardon, not just cleansing, not just entering into heaven, not just being justified. But are you an overcomer? I love that bit. I'm an overcomer. I'm nothing, but I'm linked with the overcomer. I'm more than conqueror through him that loved us. Have you seen it in your Bible? I've got it underlined. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they, we're asking who gets into heaven, who will be there? Only overcomers. No blood, nobody in heaven. And they overcame him, that's the devil, who's accusing them before God night and day, by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus is the Lamb of God, you know, that takes away the sin of the world. Has he taken your sin away? And by the word of their testimony. Have you got a testimony? Have you got a testimony that God has saved you? My wife can't tell me the hour. As a young girl, she grew up in a Christian home. And then when she was about 13, she said, I came to believe. But she can't give us the exact date. I can. Monday, 10 to 2. 1956, I was about to lecture on the attack, defense of this country against the hydrogen bomb in the top. That's the man I was, wild. And I got on my knees, and I'd heard a message like you've heard tonight, and I asked Jesus to save me. And do you know what I knew? I didn't know scripture, but I knew Jesus, and I'd heard he can forgive anybody. So I put him to the test. I got down on my knees. I meant business. I asked him to change me. Forgive me, cleanse me. And I tell you what, when I got up, I sat down for a moment before going to lecture. And I knew two things. I knew peace. It's amazing to have peace, isn't it? You can be young, you can be middle-aged, you can be old. It's often troubled, aren't we? Wonderful to know peace. And he's made peace through the blood of his cross. No blood, no peace. You can have a peace of this world, you know, nice view, going to the beach or something, going to a party, going swimming, doing the things we like to do. It doesn't last. Doesn't last. Only a Christian's life lasts who knows the power of the blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I got off my knees, I said, I knew peace. And I knew another thing. I was pure. I felt pure inside. It was only 23. I was pure inside. I only wish I'd heard before the amazing power of the blood of Jesus. I spend most of my ministry preaching on the blood because there aren't too many people who preach on the blood. No blood, no Christian, no salvation, no church. No heaven. Let us pray. Peace, perfect peace. In this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers, peace, peace within. Oh Lord, may we carry peace away in the secret casket of our heart. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. I've chosen the last hymn tonight. We're going to sing now 500.